Open your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Bill and Fran's son Kevin is going to have a knee replacement tomorrow, and she requested prayer for him. And so I told her I'd mention him. And their son Kevin lives up in Almont. And it's glad Seth got through his surgery okay. If that'd been me, I'd been laid up for months. You'd be back on the ball in 2 weeks. And that's what's good about being young. You heal quick, get over things quick. Man, you get not get old, just get a little age on you. Don't happen as quick. All right, I want to start reading here in verse 12 and read down through verse 17, and hopefully the Lord made me say a few things about it. 1 John 2:12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Look here with me again in John chapter 2. It says there in verse 15, John chapter 2 and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, this John talks about love an awful lot, speaks about love. And he makes a distinction here again in love. What real love is as it pertains to God and what it doesn't. If it doesn't know God. And you know, he talked about our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, that we're walking in the light. And we have an advocate with the Father. We know God by knowing that his commandments, knowing his word. And then he talked about all these believers here. Called them children, just children. Children because they believed his gospel. Children because he loved them. Maybe they were his children in the faith. And then he talked to the young men because they were very strong. Strong in the gospel, strong in the faith, strong in the word. And then he talked about the fathers, the older people, the people that had been in the gospel for a while. People who know him that was from the beginning, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then he gives several reasons why we, as God's people, should not love the world. And this is the first reason. To love the world is inconsistent with the love of God. You cannot love the world and love God at the same time. It's an impossibility. To love God and love the world, it's utterly impossible. You can't do both. You know, that's what our Lord Jesus Christ said. He says, no man can serve two masters. And that's why he says, God forbid that we should glory save only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if a man's affections and interests are set upon this world, he doesn't have the love of God in him. That's what John is saying. He deals with this over and over and over. This is what the love of God is. This is what it isn't. This is what it is to know God. This is what it isn't. And all these contrasts that he does. And that's why Paul wrote to Timothy, said, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knows them that are his. He knows who they are. But I tell you who we do love. I know this when we're talking about these things. And let me mention what the world is. What the world is. The world is the world that doesn't love God, doesn't know God, is not interested in God, just lives for this world and all it can get. I heard an old black preacher preach one time. He said, get all you can all you get, and then set on the can. So that's what that's what people do. That's what he says. People, the world is out there. They're not interested in God. They're just interested in getting and attaining and making and getting things and just obtaining more and more and more in a thousand ways. Whether it's education, whether it's money, whether it's homes, whether it's prestige, whether it's a position, whatever it may be. John says, that's the people out there that's not interested in God. They're not interested in knowing about God. They live as if they get up every morning and go about their lives, past places where people worship, past places where the gospel's preached, and that never enters their mind that I need to stop and listen. Never enters their mind. My God, a bunch of family that way. You've got family that way. And John says, now, we're not to be that way. If you love God, he says, if you love God, then you can't love the world. You can't do that. But I tell you who we do love. We love our relatives. We love our relatives. I love my brother. Love my mother-in-law. Love my sister. Love my kids. Love my grandkids. Love my great-grandkids. I love Shirley's family. We love our relatives. We love our friends that's out in the world. We've all got lots of friends that I know. And we love and pity all the people of the world. And oh my, because we understand what an awful place they're in. A man can live without Christ, but he don't want to die without Christ. And you know, we love the blessings that God gives us. We love the fellowship that God gives us. And we love the good things that God gives us in this world. We understand where they come from. And he enables us to enjoy what he's given us in this world. But we do not love the world. We don't do it. We don't love the world or the things of the world. We love God and we love Christ. We claim to have Christ in us. We don't take satisfaction. We don't take contentment in the things of the world. And we don't make idols out of them. We don't make idols out of material things. We don't make idols out of wealth. We don't make idols out of homes. We don't make idols out of children. Don't make idols out of our attainments in this world. We don't make idols out of our education. We don't make idols out of anything that we've ever attained or ever will attain. And the world does. Oh, what we prefer is heavenly things, spiritual things, God to speak to us in His Word. You see, a believer's citizenship and interest is in the kingdom of God. And this kingdom's not of this world. That's why he says, when they went out, if they'd had opportunity, they might have returned again. But they confessed that when they went out, they were strangers and pilgrims. And here they have no Cassinian city. And what are they looking for? They're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. Oh my, our true family, believer's true family is the family of God. And our Lord said here, the fashion of this world will pass away. And we as believers, we claim to have Christ in us, we prefer absolutely nothing or no one in this world more than Christ. He is our all in all. Huh? Our Lord Jesus said, what man is it that don't count the cost? If he's going to build a house. What man is it don't count the cost if he's going to go to war? And that's what it amounts to, beloved. God brought us to the place where we count the cost. We have found out that everything that we can have in this world is zero compared to what we have in Christ. Count the cost. We've counted the cost. And oh, listen. And that, look what he says here. He says, for all that's in the world is verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is not of the Father. The Father don't bring these things to us. The Father don't cause these things to us. The Father's not responsible for these things that go on in us. God doesn't do that to us. God has ordained that we in this world, but we're not of it. What God does is He called us from our worldly lust and sin. And I tell you, the world If it could, would usurp our affection? Look over in Colossians 3. Keep John and look in Colossians 3. Right back to your left a little ways. In Colossians 3. And James says to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. The world of this is starkest unfaithfulness to God. We're not interested in what the world can do for us or anything about it. Look what he said here in Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, if you say you've been quickened together with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, not affections, it's singular. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, shall appear. Did you notice it said our life? Not the most important thing in our life. Not one of the most greatest things in our life. He is our life. We don't have no life without Him. And look what He goes on to say now. When He appears, shall we appear also with Him in glory. And He says, since we have this relationship with Christ, mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth. That's your members of your body. Your mind, your eyes, your affections, your heart, your hands, all your body. Mortify them. You know what that means? To make them dead. To make them dead. Treat them like they're dead. And He says, and this is the things you do. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness. That's just idolatry. For which thing's sake, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. That's what they are. In the time which ye also walked sometime. And lived in them when you walked in them. He said, makes a distinction here. So let's go back over here and look at these things, these three things that's in the world. Now I'm going to deal with them just a little different. He says there, for love not the world, verse 15, the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He just makes that, if you love the world, you don't love the Father. If you love the Father, you don't love the world. For all that's in the world, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What's the lust of the flesh? That's the carnal person. That's the person, the depraved person. And you know what depravity is. Depravity, most people think, is somebody that's really, really bad. Now, there is some really bad people in this world. But depravity, the carnal nature, all that means is that you're as bad off in the sight of God as you can. You may not be as bad as you ought to be, or as you want to be, but still yet, you're as bad off in the sight of God as the worst person you could possibly ever meet. You're as bad off in God's sight. And so when God looks at you and you're living in your carnal nature, or me and who's in our carnal nature, living according to this body and what it desired and what it wanted and what it felt like it needed, we gave in to that. We lived according to that fallen nature. We went after the things that our fallen nature wanted. That's the lust of the flesh. That's the lust of the flesh. And I tell you what, materialism. You hear people talk about all things. I got to get this thing, got to get that thing. What things? That's what people's interested in, things. But what about Christ? And what about Him and His relationship? And there's two people. I want to show you two people in the Scripture that deals with worldliness. Two people. And show you what worldliness is in light of these things. Lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Look in Genesis 3:6 with me. Genesis 3. Start in Genesis 3 and verse 1. Here's your worldly person. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Here's your worldly person right here. And she was fresh out of the, she was still in the garden. They hadn't been expelled from the garden yet. And so worldliness has to do with the spirit in which you relate to things. It's, God says that nothing's unclean of itself. And when I'm out around about in the world, nobody knows I'm a preacher. Nobody knows I'm a Christian. I don't wear no crosses on myself. I don't carry my Bible with me everywhere I go. I don't tell everybody that I meet that I'm a Christian. Would you like to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you like to go to heaven? I don't ask them those kind of questions. But when I get an opportunity to say something, I say something, hopefully, that honors God. So you see, worldliness has something to do with the heart and the spirit. And so look what happened here in Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle, more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. God made Satan. God made the serpent here. And he said unto the woman, evidently he could talk, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall eat of every tree of the garden? Did God say you can't eat of every tree of the garden? First thing he wanted to do was cause her to start thinking, you know. And God says you can't eat any of the fruit of the trees. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God hath said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And this is the first thing, this is the first lie the devil told the human race. You shall not die. Oh no, you're not going to die. You're going to live forever. You're a good person. And look what he goes on to say. For God doeth know that in the day that you eat thereof, you know what's going to happen? Your eyes are going to be open. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. He started with, first of all, with her fallen nature, dealing with this the day you eat thereof. Then he starts with the eyes, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And then look what you do with the lust of the flesh. Then look what you shall be as gods, the pride of life, knowing good and evil. Now listen, here's exactly what happened. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh. Boy, what I need for my body, it's going to be good for me. Oh, that'll taste so good. I'll enjoy that so much. That'll just satisfy me like nothing ever could. And then look what the woman could. And then she said it was pleasant to the eyes. That's the lust of the eyes. Oh, that looks so good. That looks so wonderful. I've never seen anything so pretty. I just got to have that. And then look what happened. And then here's the pride of life. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. Oh my, I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to be one of the wisest people. People are going to look at me and say, what a fine person. Look what a wise person she is. What and how strong she is. And look what happened. She took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And look what happened. This is the difference. They knew God, fellowship with God, but right then and there, they lost that fellowship with God. And the eyes of them both were opened. Open to what? They was open before when she looked on that tree. But now, her eyes were open and they were naked. That's the way God sees the human race. He sees us like we are, not like we think we are or hope to be. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons to cover their nakedness. And oh my. So you see, there she is, the lust of the flesh, and all the lust of the flesh, and all, and then the lust of the eyes. Let me tell you something about the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes, people think, and of course it is, when you see something and you want it. But also it means this, that you want people to look at you. You love to put on an appearance. You love to be something you're not. You love to put on airs. You know, the lust of the eyes is that you want people to look at you. And look good, you look good in their eyes. Somebody be on the verge of bankruptcy. And they'll act like, buddy, they got all kinds of money and going in this world. And they've got to put on this appearance. They're worried more about their appearance in other people's eyes than they are about anything else. What about in the appearance of God's eyes? Of how God sees us? We may appear, you know, people get together. I know fellas that run around with some awful big shots. Run around with people that have great big positions in this world. And they're interested in their appearance. They're interested in the kind of cars they drive. Gotta have the best car. You gotta have a big car. You gotta have this all these things. And the reason they do that is that when people say, boy, they're successful, ain't they? And that's what he says, the lust of the eyes is that you want people to see you and view you. But don't care about how God sees them and how God views them. You can have on a $10,000 suit, and I'll tell you, God, as far as God's concerned, it ain't worth a dime. Now, that's right. I know. That's exactly what John said. If you love God, there's no way in the world that you could be so interested in other people, how you appear to other people. And then the pride of life. You know, here's the deal, talk about that lust of the eyes. Oh, Jacob, Lot looked out and he saw the well-watered plains, you know. And he said, that's where I want to go. And he ended up in Sodom. I tell you what, you see something out there and you say, boy, that'll folks will really think I've arrived. And they thought old Lot had arrived. His wife said, oh, honey, this is the best place we could ever move. Oh, what a wonderful house we got. Our kids are going to get to go to the best schools. We got plenty of jobs. We've got plenty of oil. We got it made. And God had to drag him out of Sodom. He wanted him. He wanted his appearance. And then there's the pride of life. You know, the pride of life is self-glorification. Self-glorification. The pride of life is self-glorification. Ambition, seeking honor, seeking worldly fame. Like the Pharisees, they sought the chiefest place in the synagogues and the highest seats in the synagogues. And seek the honor and praise of men and not the honor and praise of God. Look in John 5:44. Look what our Lord said about this. John 5:44. Oh, proud of what you're not, proud of what you do. That's the pride of life. And you know, God says, six things I hate, yea, seven is abomination. You know what the first thing is? The first thing that God hates. He says, six things I hate, yea, seven are an abomination. You know what the first one is? Pride, a proud look. A proud look. And oh, look what he said here in John 5:44. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, brag on one of another, honor one of another, huh? And listen to this, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only. Oh, to seek one another's honor and not seek the honor. How can you believe if you're going around here seeking one another and you don't seek God's honor? Huh? Oh, my. Well, the third reason why we're not to love the world. Gave you two reasons. First of all, because the love of the Father is not in us. Because it's inconsistent with the love of God. Second one is the three definitions of the world. And the third reason we're not to love the world, look what it says in verse 17. And all these things is not of the Father. God don't have nothing to do with it. That's us. But it's of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. Oh, my. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know why we're not to love the world? Because everything in this world is going to pass away. Presidents die, kings die, kingdoms come and kingdoms go. Men have a crown one day and be a pauper the next. This world's passing away. Anything that you can touch, taste, and handle in this world, you're going to leave it behind. Any status you claim, any wealth you accumulate, any power you accumulate, any homes you accumulate, anything that you accumulate in this world, you're going to walk off one of these days and leave it every bit behind. Just like that rich fool. He said, listen, I've got so much stuff, I'm going to have to tear down my barns and build great big ones. And he started filling them barns up. Filled them up. Then he said, Saul, take your ease now and be merry. Take your ease now. You got everything. You'll have to do another thing the rest of your life. God said, you fool, your soul is required of you tonight. Huh? Oh, listen. Everything in this world is temporary and is changing constantly. Things are constantly changing. Things is always in an uproar and then calm down. Uproar and calm down. And oh, listen, dude, this goes and people go crazy over that. And then this don't happen, then people go crazy over that. This election, people's lost their minds over the election. Just lost their minds. Did you lose yours? I didn't. I didn't lose it before and I didn't lose it after. I'm not going to lose it.
Oh, listen, that's temporary. It's temporary. If God lets me live, it's just temporary. Everything's temporary.
Oh, listen. And the lust thereof, the world and the lust thereof, all the things that this world has ever lusted after and attained to, that which men covet, that which men desires, that which captivates and desires of the carnal mind and flesh in this world, will pass away. That which is most precious, that which is most precious, that which is most, we got women in here tonight that's lost their children, that which is most precious. That which is most important, that which is most valuable in this world is marked, God said, for destruction. And the fourth reason why we don't love the world and we love the Father, look what he says in verse 17. But he that doeth the will of God, look what it happens to him. He abides forever. How long you go? The world's going to pass away. And everything about it, and the lust thereof. But who's going to abide forever? He that doeth the will of God. What is the will of God? That you have Christ, that you seek Christ, believe on His Son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who seek God, those who make it their lifelong pursuit after God seeks them to seek Him, to seek His kingdom, to seek His righteousness, these people shall abide forever. Our spiritual family, those that's in the family of God, the family of Christ, they will never die. Never decay. Our heavenly home will never decay. Our new body will never grow old. We're going to that place where we'll never, ever grow old. What a wonderful thing that'll be with this old body. We won't have to deal with it anymore. No more troubles. No more heartaches. That's what he says. This new body will never grow old. The glory of Christ will never fade away. And you know what? David said, I'll be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. And we'll not be satisfied till that happens. And you know our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope I don't know how long I'm taking. About 30 minutes, what I've had used so far. Our Lord was the very opposite of what the world is. The very opposite of what the world is. He was born poor. Instead of being born in a hospital or born in somebody's home, he was born in a stable. In a stable. In a barn. In a stable. Instead of having a crib, he was laid in a manger. He grew up in a poor man's house, grew up poor, and he worked as a carpenter, as a laboring man, until he entered his ministry. And he said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He made himself of no reputation. And when he came into Jerusalem as a king, you know how he came in there as a king? Not riding a big white horse and a crown on his head. He come meek and lowly, riding on a colt, the foal of an ass. Huh? And you know what he says about his people? This is the opposite of the way the world is. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that mourn. Huh? We're just the opposite of that. Instead of us worried about our worldly birth, we're interested in our new birth. Instead of worried about what's going to happen in this world, I'm interested in the kingdom of God right here and right now. Ain't you? Yeah, amen. I hope that's a blessing. Our Father. Oh, our Father. The blessed, 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 blessed holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Oh, what a joy it's been here to meet with the children of God. Lord, when we miss a day, it just seems like forever. But Lord, we're so thankful that you allowed us this time. What a privilege, what a blessing to be numbered among the living, to be with the redeemed who say so. No wonder David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, we our souls bless you tonight. God, please work in the hearts of your dear people here. Strengthen them, encourage them, bless them. We pray for friend's son, Kevin. Lord, please have mercy on him tomorrow. And we pray for Seth, that you would have him heal quickly. And pray for Pam, and pray for Peggy. Pray for others among us who are weak, sickly, afflicted, worried, troubled, and tried. God bless them, strengthen them, encourage them, and save by your grace. In Christ's name, amen.